It's a great song.
Yes, it is.
Prettier than all the world. You're only one song, fellas, girl.
A gentlemanly song right here.
And I'm so proud.
I'm so proud.
I'm so proud of you.
All right.
I'm so proud.
This is, this is the most civilized opening we've ever had.
You. I get songs in my head.
And it would hurt.
You get voices in your head, pal.
Brett's in the wrong
profession.
Big difference.
Yeah,
no, I'm absolutely in the right profession. I had this song too in my head. Go ahead, Pete. Introduce yourself, Harris, and we got Pete here. Welcome to another episode.
Great intro, bro. Introduce yourself. We got Pete here.
That's the first time I've ever did a podcast with someone go introduce yourself.
Yeah. Welcome to another episode of You're on the List.
Well, maybe if you'd carry your fucking weight in this relationship.
Oh, Jesus Christ, buddy, I'm doing everything over here. Brett, do me a favor, like a proper host, introduce our guest this afternoon.
Well, Harris, he can introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Harris Stanton. It's like being introduced.
He's a comic.
It's like being introduced by, like, when you go to colleges.
Yeah.
And the students never know how
to. Tell us three things that we don't know about you, Harris. Jesus, Brett.
Harris is an amazing comedian, good friend of mine. And he's got an album coming out.
It's out
already.
November 3rd. Yeah.
It's already dropped.
Nice.
He's dropping albums. Like,
yeah,
it's
man.
Fucking 98.
Dropping jewels everywhere, like Tony Stark's, bro.
And so far, man, well, because of Burr's podcast.
Yeah, you do Bill Burr's podcast, your shit shoot up to top five.
Yeah, dude.
Already, man.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, you have your own series now.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. You just skip five steps.
Everybody's like, Harris Stanton's on, right? Yeah. Like, he's already famous.
I can't believe
it. Right. Yeah.
I can't believe we got him.
It's going to pay for my trip out here.
Yeah.
For a week.
Well, Harris, good to have you, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm in the Comedy Store. It's my first time actually being in the guts of this famous place.
This is where all the haunting shit is.
Yeah, this is
before,
where.
Before I even knew about the hauntings, I was on the phone with my mother when he pulled up. I go, this place feels weird. It feels haunted.
Oh, well, you have good instincts because
there's
ghosts and all sorts of weird spirits all over this place.
God.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. So, dude, so where are you based? You're in
I'm in New York.
In New York City.
Yes.
And I know originally you're from the Carolinas. From,
South
was it
Carolina.
South Carolina?
Yes.
So how long have you been in New York City?
It's like Brett been here, 1999.
Nice. Yeah, I was in the city.
Nobody,
that's when I moved to New York City,
you,
99, from D.C.
Keep interviewing the guests. We all know this.
We're just trying to catch up on New York City life, man. Gee, so where was the first place you moved into New York City?
Are you going to ask him what was the first place he worked,
borough,
and then you could
borough?
Go into the restaurant you worked in?
No.
All right.
Did you work in restaurants?
No, I worked at a Gristiti's in third shift. It was horrible.
Yeah, Gristiti's, that's real deal.
Oh, it was horrible.
That's some local grocery shopping.
And I had an African manager who used to curse everybody out. I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
People go, stupid motherfucker. One day somebody choked him out in the basement. One of his employees, some big black dude. You can't talk to people in any kind of way, man. I used to just take it.
This ain't Uganda, man.
Yeah.
You need to
you
fucking
stupid motherfucker.
How many store cats did you guys have? Did you guys have any cats that mind the store?
No, we had a weird, eccentric guy in the dairy department.
He's the one that caught all the rodents.
Yes, <right. laughs> I forgot
it. Like the fucking Birdman of Alcatraz?
Yeah, he collected them. So what borough was your first borough when you first moved to
Jamaica,
New York?
Jamaica, Queens.
Oh, wow. There you go.
I was out there with 50 Cent and them.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Jamaica, Queens. I mean, that's, you know... Roots of Tribe Called Quest, all that stuff was around
here
that
we
area.
Go.
Yeah,
wait to get out of here.
Yeah. So, and how long did you do
buddy,
Queens
I used
for?
To, buddy, I used to spit ciphers.
Yeah, on Linden Boulevard.
On Linden Boulevard, buddy.
He
blew my mind.
Like
yeah, he's the worst.
Well, he abuses me too.
Yeah, I abuse him by just keeping him in line. It's, that's how I do.
Buddy, so, Harris, you don't understand, buddy. I used to spit fucking stupid crazy.
Yeah,
that's fire. That's on Linden Boulevard.
So. Queens for how long? And then, you know, give us a little tour through New York City in your years there.
I was in Queens up until I got married. So I was in Queens for about 7 years.
Okay.
And I moved to Brooklyn.
And then Brooklyn. Now it's more. Now, what part of Brooklyn are you now? Is it
Crown
one
Heights,
of. Oh, yeah. Okay.
The gentrification.
Oh, yeah. You're
Bed-Stuy,
right.
Bed-Stuy. Well, not Crown, but Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
Area, yeah.
A lot of candle shops.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Yes.
Did you get attacked by any Hasidic Jews?
No, but one.
Remember the Crown Heights? Right?
Oh yeah, that was a different Brooklyn back then.
I tell you what did happen. Me being from South Carolina, not knowing much about Judaism or Jews or anything, I was walking one day and some Jew asked me to come in his house and turn his stove off. And I was stunned.
Yeah.
Until I found out why he couldn't do it.
He can't touch it.
I'm like, religion is dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think God gives a shit. Turn your stove off. You're not going to hell.
Dude, when I was driving up.
You can't touch this.
I was driving up. Right. I was driving on La Brea and some dude just jumped in my car and he's like, you mind taking me up the street?
Oh, yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. I said, yeah, I don't mind, dude.
Yeah.
Some stranger jumped in your car and you did it. I was like, look at the fuck out of my car.
Yeah, dude.
He was an old guy. And,
that's why, once again, the Jews showing that they know how
that's how you get shanked and then your car gets stolen.
Yeah.
And last time we saw Brett, he was giving some old guy a ride.
Yeah. It looked like Santa Claus.
On the Sabbath.
I watch too much of the ID channel to let anyone. I don't give a fuck if it's a 5-year-old girl. She might be a decoy.
Yeah.
I'm too paranoid.
Another example to show you that the Jews know how to get the loopholes, man. They'll be like, yo, you turn the stove off.
Yeah.
Let you drive me to this place. I can't do it.
You need to change religion so you can get around better.
It's Juber. It's Juber.
So,
they just pick you up. You pick them up.
And yeah.
For Jews.
It's like
Uber.
The Muslims and the pork. Who gives a fuck if you have a slice of pizza with pepperoni?
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, all that shit is just from like days when you did die from eating that stuff.
Dude,
you know
speaking
I mean?
Speaking of Jew pork, there was I remember when I lived in New York, one time I took a ride. You know,
Catholics are just as fucking wacky.
Well, all religions are wacky.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying, we're just as fucking...
Right.
You know what I mean? You're doing things sometimes, dude, and you're why am I doing it?
The Hasidic Jews will roll around town in a van full of Hasidic Jews, pull over, ask if you're Hasidic, and then if you say yeah, they'll be like, you want to take a ride with us?
You want to come solve mysteries with us?
Yeah, it's like a weird thing. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. And then one time I was downtown, and I asked them, well, where are you going? And he's like, well, we're ending up on like 23rd Street. And in my mind, I was like, I had to go to Chelsea on the west side. And I was like, all right. And I got in the van with them and I just agreed.
Well, when we got there,
I just got off and I was like, I got a free ride by the Hasidics.
Well, did you not shave for like 2 days? And you're like, this guy's one of us. He's got a beard longer than
any
of us.
This guy's got these fucking curly cues on his sideburns.
I think God has better things to do than to worry about some schmuck turning his stove off.
Yeah.
He has a whole universe to take care of. But stove off.
He's worried about, you know, the guy in 3C.
Yeah. I saw that. Wait till you be judged. 1982, you did something you shouldn't have done.
You turned that stove off. Do you remember that?
Dude,
but I gave to all these.
Yeah.
You turned the stove off in 1982.
Yep.
You're not getting in.
Harris, you have any kids?
Whoa. You ate meat on Friday? You ate meat on Friday. You're not getting in.
I just did a piece of, that's actually in my comedy album.
Yeah?
What's that?
That whole religion shit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like
there
that.
There we go.
So we're riffing on your bit that we didn't know that it was your bit.
Were we close to anything?
Yeah, were we?
To where you were.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Great minds think alike. Especially when you said did you touch that stove?
Yeah.
Well, no, you did that first, and then
I did it, then you tagged it.
On the,
it's tagging.
That's how comics work.
Yeah. Just tagging all over the place.
See, 5 years from now, it's in my special.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there like this, still trying to get spots.
Man.
That piece of shit. Do you watch? You don't watch other comics, do you?
Yes, if
you're working with them.
No, I love comedy, man.
You do.
I watch a lot of comedy.
Yeah, I'm the same.
But
way.
Only good comedy. I don't watch.
I'll turn it off if it's
like anything Louis does. I watch
right.
Anything I watch Gerard's. But like,
did
like
you watch
comedy.
Him jerk off?
No, I didn't watch him jerk off.
No, but I
love great comics. Patrice, Bill Burr.
Yeah,
I watched this guy the other day.
Yeah,
on comedy.tv.
Yeah, why did you watch that? That's so awesome.
Because you was on. I was flicking through the channels. I had nothing to do. I had my dick in my hand, but I put it up when you came up. But I was flicking, and then it was Brett. I said, "Oh, I'm gonna see Brett."
Dude,
so I watched.
You know what?
That's when Brett had hair that it looked like it was just painted on his head.
here's
Caesar cut.
Here's the thing with like
that show sucked. I did that show too.
It's terrible, but I mean, it's good. I mean, I like Byron Allen.
Yeah, I like
what he does.
Yeah.
But I was talking more about the set. And what's crazy now is that, like, you know, back then all this stuff is starting to resurface.
Yeah.
Because people need content. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was a time when, like, I would do stuff on TV and it got shelved. And nobody ever saw it.
I don't think nobody ever saw mine.
But then now, but I'm saying then would do the same set again, thinking it would get on. And then, so now there's like three
different versions of it.
Different versions of the same set.
From 2006?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, wow. I'm like 6 to 8. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's amazing.
No, absolutely. Like, yeah. When I did Kevin Hart's thing on...
it's just the same set in different t-shirts.
Well, I did one mic stand, right? And Kevin Hart hosted it. It was like, I think we all got like 20 minutes or something.
Right.
And then it just... I never heard from anything. Then,
oh,
like,
it didn't air?
Then four years later...
It comes up.
I'm on my phone and I see like 100 ads from black people. And I'm thinking, okay, because you know when some shit, but it was just all
right,
black.
Right, right,
right.
That's funny. That's funny.
And I'm going, what the fuck?
Blacks,
man?
Like Italians. Yeah. We love you guys.
Yeah, but I didn't know what it was coming from. I'm like, why is it all? You know what I mean? And then I'm thinking, did something there? And then they dusted off fucking one mic stand because Kevin blew up, and just fucking started playing it. But yeah, no, I'm not a fan. I don't want. I'm with you, but I can't watch a stand-up specials. I've never been able to do that.
I can do it if it's good.
I like it. Yeah, me too.
I can't.
Me too.
I think, man.
You know. Also, and it's not. For me, it's not as much as just only being a fan of comedy. I also, because we practice stand-up comedy. I like to see other people how they approach it.
It's not just being a fan.
On how,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's not the material, is this guy doing a character? Is he like what is right. making this audience laugh?
Right.
Is you know, if I were just to print out a transcript of this set, is this set funny or is this guy
right.
funny? And
right.
I think there's a lot of things that we could all learn, whether
right.
it's
exactly.
whether it's things from how someone applies an act out mm-hmm. to a story mm-hmm. or whatever it is. There's little things that, you know, you can just sort of, and it's not about taking from anyone.
Right.
It's just
right.
educating yourself on the different ways to, you know, to do things.
Right.
Well,
you know what I mean?
In my 20 years of doing this shit, man, I still haven't figured out how to fucking write a joke.
Really?
And what I mean by that is like I see comics that, you know, there are certain types of comedians that are better writers and better mm-hmm. performers and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like to write the verbiage down and word for word and
yeah.
you know, get to it, and I don't know if I've tried. When I first started, I don't know if you were the same way. That's how you try. You always like, all right,
yeah,
I'm going to write it
sit
out,
and
write it out,
out,
write
yeah.
it out.
I can't.
And then it doesn't come out that way,
no,
and
it's
not funny. And then, you know, when it just.
But what
I still don't
do,
know how to do it.
What
I don't know
I
how to write
do
a,
is
a set.
I record my set, and whatever that I liked, I go, then I write what I said down.
Uh huh.
But I can't, like you said, I can't just...
Well, the discipline to even listen to it. I've got fucking
it's tedious, but...
And I haven't even listened to them.
Only time
fucking
you know what?
Crazy.
You know what? If let's say I'm doing four sets, and maybe out of one set, I did something. I was like, oh, that one. I remember that. I'll just go right to that
uh-huh.
and just listen to that. I won't
exactly.
listen to the whole set.
Yeah.
I won't listen to the shit I opened with. Or,
yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
But mentally, you know,
I
did like this little thing that I don't usually do. You
right.
go back, you,
go
you
right
check
that,
it, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
and then I'll write it down and
yeah,
then I'll delete it.
I'll show you, this is insanity. I mean, I've literally got, I would say, hours of stuff that I've, I mean, these are hour sets.
So stop recording them, wasting
right?
your megabytes.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy. And then I
just this dude walking around like he got megabytes to
so
spare,
like,
y'all.
But look at this. So, like, I would say fight story, right? That's an hour and 10 minutes. And then I'm like, fuck, I don't want to listen to my voice. And then, but then if I did good, I'll put those one words in there to great set, shitty set. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
right, right.
And then I never listened to
it. But for me, you know, getting back to the writing of it, I think my best jokes that are well written are a result of me doing
damn.
That joke over and over and chiseling out the right words, like
right.
The jokes I've had the longest that worked best for me are jokes that I've over time, like they're word for word for a reason, because I've gotten to them, you know what I mean,
right.
I've gotten those
exactly
I've gotten those bits to that point to where that's right. the best way I've found to execute them
right.
But everything else, it's like you're just writing it. I write more on stage. I get the
right,
the
too.
Premise. Then you take it to the stage, and over time, you try to just make it better.
Try to make it better,
yeah.
I remember when I used to be on the road with Patrice a lot, I didn't watch him every night, but I watched him. I probably watched him more than I would have watched anyone if I was on the road with him. Like, I was on the road with Tracy. I never watched him.
Would you put – because I absolutely would put him in top 10 of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Arguably –
Patrice, you're talking.
Arguably breaking the five.
Yeah.
I would put him at, like, 8.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, I got to get this real quick. Okay. I got to do this interview. Hold on. We'll be right back. And we're back. Harris, I apologize for that.
No problem, man.
I had to do a phone interview where for my show at the Kent Stages in Ohio, December 23rd. And if you're in the Cleveland area, come down. You know, Abdullah Hod said he's going to drive down.
Did you hear about this Abdullah
guy? Man. Stop. Seriously,
Abdullah. Do you know Sebastian, the comedian Sebastian Harris?
I know of him. Yeah.
Yeah. This is my impression of him. That's how I do it.
Go ahead. I'm walking out. I got another phone call. Go ahead. You guys talk.
You got another phone call?
Have you seen this comedian Harris from New York City? Comes in with the New York Mets hat. You seen this guy? Looking like Mookie Wilson. That's a little Sebastian for you guys. I don't know if Brett really just left to make a phone call, buddy.
No, his phone was ringing.
So while we were on our little break there, Brett took his phone call.
Is it over? Is Sebastian
Yeah,
over?
Sebastian's over, buddy. Yeah. We were...
He doesn't like Sebastian?
No, no.
We
were talking...
Sebastian's my best friend in the world. I love him.
We were talking...
His impression drives me
Oh, it's the best impression you've ever heard.
It makes my skin crawl.
No, but buddy, on the break there, we were just talking, and I just wanted to kind of touch on it briefly.
These all the breaks.
Just a little more on Harris here. You were in that wreck with Tracy and Artie Fuqua.
Yes.
And you got injured, you got banged up, but you got off pretty easy compared to everyone else, really.
Why don't you tell us? Tell us the story. What happened?
That's probably the most expensive broken wrist that anyone's had to pay for.
Yeah,
I got a $70,000 car out of it.
Yeah, that's good. It was Walmart, right? Yes. Walmart. Yeah, yeah. Good for you guys. But you recovered well, right?
Yes. And you know what's funny? Funny you should say that. I was on my way here. And we were in traffic on you guys' crazy traffic, and I had a what do you call it? Like a PTSD thing.
Yeah.
And I just kept looking back and I saw two trucks behind me.
Oh, wow.
And it was weird. So I haven't had that in a while.
What happened? So you guys were driving, you got T-boned, right?
We were driving in a traffic jam on New Jersey Turnpike and we were inching along, we were moving, and this 18-wheeler Walmart truck just hit us in the back. But at the last minute, we would have died. At the last minute, he kind of swerved and clipped us, but it was enough to turn the car over a few times.
Did the driver pass away? Somebody passed away.
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy Mack passed away.
Uncle Jimmy Mack, that's right. Uncle Jimmy Mack died because it was you, yeah. Tracy.
Artie.
Artie Fuqua.
And a tour manager. And it was two drivers, one in the front, one, and both of them were helping each other drive, you know, because.
Yeah.
Funny thing about it, on the way to the gig, we took an SUV.
Right.
So if we'd have took that same SUV, we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
But it was a big ass.
You got
Sprinter. Yeah.
Oh, the Sprinter. That's what I meant. Yeah. The Sprinter. Huge. Yeah, yeah. Those are dope.
So it just heard whack and that was.
We were listening to Michael Jackson's Butterfly and the lights went out.
Wow. Wow.
And I remember thinking, I was conscious the whole time. I didn't get knocked unconscious. And I remember thinking, wow, something big hit us because we're in something big. So it had to be a tank or a train or a truck.
Right.
And it was a truck. But yeah, I remember being thrown and I remember going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And then it felt like it went on forever. Then it finally stopped and Tracy's on top of me, bleeding and peeing on me.
Oh, man. Well, that's a good closer.
Yeah. He better take you everywhere now. You literally opened for him.
Yeah, right?
He opened for him in the...
Yeah.
Like, Tracy, peed on me. Yeah. I need...
Actually, he opened for you in that situation. Yeah.
Tracy opened for you. Well, thank God, everybody.
Yeah, buddy. We're just happy that, you know, because that briefly just came up through conversation. I'm just happy.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to... Unless he wanted to bring it up.
No, it's cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're happy that, you know, that you're back to full health.
You know what's funny?
Everybody thinks
I, you know, being a comedian and trying to be an actor or whatever, you dream of fame, and that's a weird way to get it. I came up my house, and people jumped out of their cars. They wanted a story.
Yeah.
And I was taking the garbage out, and it felt good.
Yeah.
I didn't care the reason why.
Yo, it's on your flyers now, as seen from the Tracy Morgan car wreck.
I use that. That's one of my credits now. Premium blend and the Tracy Morgan accident. Dude, my wife was my wife had to take anxiety pills. I was enjoying every minute of it. They were calling. They were following me down the road. I have pictures where the baboon, I'm taking my garbage out, and they're following me in my neighborhood.
That's
and then
amazing.
Everybody in the neighborhood's looking at me. I go, yeah, that's right.
That's right,
that's
y'all.
Right. I'm somebody.
did you go, guys, listen, if you want to hear more, I'll be at Bananas.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Exactly. Dude, it was so weird. I was in People Magazine. I don't want to be in People Magazine that way, but right. I was in People
You're
Magazine.
In People Magazine,
hey, listen,
dog.
Man.
It counts. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's.
I did an interview for Reels TV for a documentary.
That's amazing.
It's
on your reel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
Just the Eyewitness News at 11.
Reels TV paid me $1,000 to tell my story, and they gave me Blue Jays tickets.
That's amazing.
And put me up in a 5-star hotel.
Are you still a Blue Jay? Well, no, wait.
I'm
let's
a Blue
just,
Jays fan.
I want to come again really quick. But, I mean, you are, and you know, again, especially people that have been doing it as long as I have and even longer, everybody right. knows who you are in our business. And, right. and you are one of the more respected comedians.
I didn't know that.
I'm just saying, man, your name comes up. You always know that when you bring up a name, people always you could tell. They either bite their tongue and they're like, nah, that dude's funny.
Yeah, I never thought that.
No, I mean, look, Burr had you on his podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no problems, you know.
Right.
And Burr's just that type of dude. But what makes Burr great, besides being amazing stand-up, is the fact that this guy, if you're good, that he'll promote.
And exactly. Burr remembers when I first started and I was awful. And one day, maybe 7 years after the fact that we met, we did a benefit together at Gotham Comedy Club. And I went on before him. And I got off. He was so impressed. And I was so I was so happy that he was impressed.
Right, right.
And I was like, okay, Bill Burr noticed that I'm working at it.
Yeah.
I'm not just telling jokes. You know, I'm really trying to be – I have some integrity about this. So
without mentioning names, though, you do know there are those comics that are big, like that are huge and famous mm-hmm. and have – the respect of the comedians, and then there's that
some that don't.
That
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
And then there are those comics, like the other night when we were in the back bar at the Comedy Store. There's a bar if you ever come to the store. There's the one in the front, but there's one in the back where like a lot of the regulars hang out. It's through the kitchen. And Chappelle was back there. And you know, and you're having conversations with these types of with that type of comic. That is not. He's going to be iconic at the end. When it's all said and done, Chappelle's iconic.
To me, he already is.
Yeah, but I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because when you're still in it. But I'm saying right. when you look back and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's comics like Burr and Chappelle and Joe Rogan that have a road stink.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I mean,
what do you mean a road stink?
A road stink.
Oh.
A smell, a swag, and a smell of guys that have done an hour in a shit room bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That have put their time in,
mm-hmm.
and Burr's got that swag and stink. He's at the end of the day, and you know you say that with admiration.
Absolutely,
there's that grizzled stand up thing, and that's
Absolutely.
Those guys will do whatever they can to help a guy,
right?
You know, to try right. and sell an album. And
right.
but then there are those that you just meet that you're like, this fucking.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
This fucking guy's talking about what? And you're sitting in the back going, nobody in this room fucking respects you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
There's a reason why every time there's a lineup, that person will come in and go, guys, you mind if I go up first? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then there's guys.
Absolutely.
Then there's guys like, you know, Burr that are like, yeah, you know, I'll wait to the end.
Right.
You know? Right. I'll follow 15 destroyers and have everybody forget about them.
Right, right.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, look, we don't really have comedian. I don't know if comics listen to this.
Yeah.
I know, you know, there are some. So to our listeners, I'm being vague, but
yeah, we're talking about you.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like you know there are those comics that
yeah.
you just like I want to hear this person's story, and then there's some that are like, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, like I think I was saying, whenever I read a post from a friend, I don't know if you're this way, but or somebody in the business, because we all have comics that have added us as friends, and they're having success, and they're going, I can't believe this is happening, or I can't believe that means that. You haven't been doing it long. Because that shit should read, it's about fucking time.
Exactly. Right. I see what you're saying now. Yeah. Right.
It's about time. This is long overdue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you played baseball professionally too. Well, you were drafted.
I was drafted, and I was a draft and follow, actually. I wonder if they still do that. A draft and follow is when they draft you. You can sign if you want to, but they want you to go play another year of collegiate ball.
Right. Ball. So where were you playing?
No
where,
other team can pick you up in the draft. They just basically draft.
They
the
got
whole
dibs.
Yeah, dibs.
Well,
yeah.
Because the minute money exchanges hands, you're now a professional.
Yes, absolutely.
So where
it's,
where
it's
were
like
you?
A prom. It's like a promise to a professional team.
Right. Exactly.
Where were you playing in college?
I played at a very. It's so funny. I played a junior college that I wanted to go to. Who wants to go to a junior college? This junior college was produced a lot of professional athletes.
Uh-huh. Well, baseball like
athlete,
that.
Yeah.
Baseball, so you could go to a Division II team,
yeah,
and it's a powerhouse.
And I didn't really have the grades for D1, but that junior college I was trying to go to a
right.
junior college. Reggie Sanders, Mookie Wilson played there, Orlando Hudson.
Wow.
They had when we played in 95, not 7 of our 9 starters were drafted out of high school.
That's
or drafted
amazing.
The year before.
Yeah.
From being a freshman, yeah. So I wanted to go to Dwight Smith. Remember Dwight Smith from the Atlanta Braves?
Yeah.
They produced so many major leaguers, so I wanted to go there.
Yeah.
And I got an opportunity to go there.
So where'd you who'd you get the draft and followed by?
Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
Chicago,
yeah. And what year was that?
56th round.
Yeah.
They don't even have that
it
round
counts.
Anymore.
It counts.
You can Google that right now. 56th round draft pick. Might have been 52nd, I forget. But it was in the 50s. I got drafted higher than Mike Piazza, though.
Yeah, there you go,
Mike
dog.
Mike Piazza's in the Hall of
well,
Fame.
He played at Miami-Dade, right?
Yeah. He was a favorite of Tommy Lasorda to get drafted.
Well, that was his godfather.
Yeah.
How I know the story behind that.
How does a Hall of Famer become a favor? Please draft this future.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, my buddy,
it's crazy.
My buddy Jeff Edmonds, who was ahead of me in high school. Big shout out to Jeff, any Plantation listeners. And he got drafted by Minnesota, but they were on the All-Star team together in South Florida.
Okay.
And, well, I mean, that's – and again, the JUCOs are fucking huge for professional baseball.
Yeah, players. Yeah, man.
I mean, because if you're playing JUCO ball, you're not playing to get a degree.
JUCO, I hear JUCO has the best athletes.
Abso-fucking-lutely. My buddy Tim works on JUCO preparing JUCO athletes and getting athletes signed to Division I programs
for
football.
Right.
And that's really because you're getting all the guys that, you know, don't really give a fuck about grades.
Right.
Exactly.
So anyways, the point is that Piazza, when they were playing together, he was like, I'm going to go to get a tryout for the Dodgers because my, you know, that's how I know that story.
Yeah, but
and the rest is fucking history.
Yeah, it's insane that Hall of Famer. A Hall of Famer is the best of the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, they usually are from the beginning to end.
Right.
So.
Who was your favorite baseball player growing up, like you idolized?
Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds.
Really?
Yeah, I love those guys, man.
I was Mattingly. I love
that. Barry Bonds has such a – they don't have the swag that Barry – and Ricky Henderson with the slap.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Boy.
Henderson was the best.
Right before they catch a fly ball, he's doing all kinds of shit. Smack. My uncle told me a story that minor leaguers would try to emulate Ricky Henderson, Barry Bonds, and one guy tried to snatch the ball at the air and miss it and bust his teeth. Hilarious. See what you get for showboat.
Exactly. leave it to the pros.
Yeah.
Henderson was great.
Ricky Henderson would hit a home run and pop his collar.
Yeah.
They don't do shit like that no more.
No, man.
Griffey would hit a home run and just watch and
just
walk.
Stand there.
Now, they played at the same time, him and his father at one point.
Yeah,
right?
That was
because he was a player manager.
They both hit home runs back to back against the California Angels.
That's like the first time that's ever happened.
Ever happened.
What made you a Blue Jays fan?
My uncle coached a Blue Jays A-ball team.
Oh, wow.
In Florence and Myrtle Beach, which is close to me.
Yeah.
So my dad would take me to see those A-ball games, and I saw, like I said, Fred McGriff, Cecil Fielder. I saw Carlos Delgado when he was catcher still.
Yeah.
See, now, the thing is, too, in those wherever those spring training are is usually where you'll get a following.
Yeah.
Right? Because
what's that?
Like, because, you know, in Florida, I know, I think the Mets are in Port St. Lucie,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I went down before, yeah.
The Phillies are down there.
And the Yankees were in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And all the spring training. So you'll have those fan bases. Like, if you ever go out to Oxnard and Thousand Oaks, they're all Dallas Cowboy fans because that's where the Cowboys practice.
Yeah.
Okay. They've been in Thousand Oaks since the Tom Landry era.
Right.
But that
yeah you get
sense
the, you
then.
Get those regional fans now because they know you from
well,
spring
I mean,
ball.
If you're a little kid and you're in South Carolina, besides your uncle coaching there, but you're gonna watch the Toronto Blue Jays
right.
practice. Of course, they're gonna be
yeah.
a team.
Yeah.
Because South Carolina yeah. doesn't have a team.
No, but South Carolinians support the Braves. They support the closest team to the
oh yeah
Yeah, so right. So South Carolinians and North Carolinians were Braves fans.
So
I was a Blue because that was TBS back then. I remember that they used to broadcast.
So by the
Braves
time
fans.
You made it up to New York, you had the option. You were like, "Yuck, I'm gonna live here for a while. I have to pick a team." Did you go with the Mets because they were National League or you have Mets and Yankees right there?
I was a big fan of Del Strawberry.
Yeah,
too, and I love that 86 team.
Oh, it's amazing.
86
team. Mookie Wilson,
crazy.
Gary Carter.
Fight all the time, smoke cigarettes. Yeah.
And Dykstra.
They gave
zero
cocaine.
Zero fucks.
Dude, Strawberry. Oh,
they used to fight each other.
Yeah.
Didn't they catch Dwight Gooden at a trap house or something?
They probably did.
Like, now, there was a story behind that.
Yeah, no.
Del Strawberry said it would take drugs and make the ball look bigger. His eyes would be...
Yeah. Strawberry was... No, I'm sorry. Doc Gooden was zooted out when they were doing the parade for the World Series. Exactly.
Here's something you may not know, though. Old guys from Brooklyn always rooted for the Mets because, like, my grandfather was a Mets fan because they were Brooklyn Dodgers guys, mm-hmm. and the Dodgers hated the Yankees. And then those colors are because of the San Francisco Giants, right? Who was San Francisco? They had a team. There was the Giants that played there. That was a baseball team.
The Dodgers,
back then.
The Giants, and there was another one, right?
But that's a combination of the Giants and the Dodgers.
Oh, okay.
Those colors, the orange and
the
blue.
I don't like the Yankees anyway. They're just privileged. They buy everything.
I'm a Yankees. You got to love the Yankees. I mean, come on.
I mean,
they're
the
greatest
I love
franchise
the
in all
I love
of fucking
watching
professional
baseball.
Sports.
I'll watch the Yankees anytime, but
yeah.
You just got Giancarlo Stanton. Okay.
Did you ever?
It's not.
Do you think there was a
kibosh? It wasn't a chance he was going to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Do you think there was a kibosh that because Jeter is with the Marlins?
Maybe. I didn't think about that.
You know what I mean? He said he gave him to his former team.
I didn't think about that.
Did you ever go to Shea Stadium when it was
Absolutely,
still around? Yeah, that was always fun.
Yeah.
Big fucking.
The Jets used to play there.
Did they?
Yeah, Jets used to play there. It's weird. Like in New York, if Long Island, parts of Brooklyn, Queens. Jets, Mets, Islanders, and then the rest of New York is Giants, Yankees, and Rangers.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of fun games at the Shea Stadium.
But Shea is where Joe Namath played.
Phillies Mets at Shea Stadium is always that was like a thing that we did every year.
City Field is beautiful. It looks better. It's way better than
Stadium. Oh yeah.
You can have a party. It's so beautiful.
Do you know when Willie Mays? Who was the first black dude to play? Willie Mays, right?
No.
Jackie Robinson.
Jesus. Sorry, what am I talking about? Jackie Robinson.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, my history. Jackie Robinson. That first game
when Willie Mays broke Jersey City,
I think.
Say it again?
There's a game in Jersey City. There's a place right off of Bergen Line Avenue or Kennedy in Jersey City where that field was. And there's a plaque there. But that's where it was played. The first game where he played was played in fucking Jersey City.
Yeah. Jersey has a lot of good baseball. That whole region
remember
does.
Remember Rick Anderson wouldn't quit baseball? He just kept trying to come back, and he was playing for the New Jersey.
The Trenton.
Newark.
Newark.
And he was like 49.
Yeah.
I'm still in. I'm still doing it.
He's from Tom's River, man, which dominates.
Tom's River. It made
Mike Trout, right?
Yeah, it made
Frazier.
Todd Frazier. We made the Leiter brothers. But yeah, we do. I always joke,
you guys
half of our town's budget is like dedicated to Little League baseball, like pitching machines.
So Pete, were you into baseball or not?
I played one year in high school, but I wasn't as good as like the guys that were in the high school teams in Tom's River were like they felt like they were semi professional teams. You know what I mean? So I did a year at JV, and I was like, you guys are way better.
You have sections of this country where. Those towns are baseball, and not where I'm from, South Florence, which is a powerhouse.
Yeah,
You just have powerhouse towns. They breed baseball players.
But Todd Frazier was a baseball player who, at a very young age, you know, in Tom's River, they would take like
Puerto
kids
Rico in America.
They would take kids, and they would take the pitching machine, put that shit on the highest possible thing, drop baseballs in there, and just have the kids step in to see what it felt like, to see how fast, like at a young age. So by the time you're 15, 16, 17 years old, this is not foreign to you. These balls coming in this fast. That's why, you know, Todd Frazier, when he was playing for the Tom's River Little League and won that shit, he was pitching and then he hit like all the home runs. I mean, that kid was a machine. Like they ingrained it, you know, at a young age.
Yeah, you can do that. But from playing baseball, it's definitely a talent that everybody don't have, man.
Oh, for sure.
Because I know guys who didn't get those fastballs thrown to them when they got to the, you know, where they did have to see that, they had no problem adjusting.
Right, exactly. Yep, yep.
Like Orlando Hudson, he didn't see that kind of pitching until he got to the pros, maybe once or twice in high school, but he had no problem adjusting.
Right, right.
All the way up to the top.
So who was – so talk about more of in your – I mean, because you were kind of in that world. Well, you were in that world. Who were you most, like, impressed with in person that you saw athletically as a baseball player where you were like, wow, how is this guy not a fucking superstar? Or maybe they, you know, maybe they turned out to be a superstar.
Life is, I don't know. If it's, baseball is weird. I played in college with this guy named Quincy Foster. He ran – the equivalent of what he ran would be – in the 40 would be a 4-3. And he hit 400. And he ran a 4-3. His arm was a cannon, and he just toiled around in the minor leagues his
right.
whole career.
Right.
And I saw Orlando Hudson. He was good, but was he the best player I ever seen while I was playing? No.
Right.
But he made 3 All-Star games in the major leagues. I don't get it. I don't understand why my roommate Quincy Foster didn't go to the big leagues, and Orlando did.
Right.
And they were. If I had to go, I would say Quincy was better.
Dude, my brother had two kids growing up. His kid, Chris Britton, remember him, played for the Yankees?
No,
then Eddie Arnell. But, you know, it's crazy when you see young kids, when you see athletes firsthand. I mean, we're all football down south. But we do have some good baseball in South Florida.
Absolutely.
And to watch these kids play at a young age and just see them throwing heat.
Yeah.
Most baseball players in America are from Florida or California because they play year-round. Texas, they play year-round. It's hot down there.
I'm not for these young pitchers throwing curveballs at such a young age, man. They're going to fuck up. They're going to fuck their rotator up. I mean, I saw this thing.
Curveball isn't as bad as trying to throw a slider at a young age.
Right, right.
That's more stress on your arm than a curveball.
Yeah.
They're trying to throw all these major league pitches.
The advancements in shoulder surgeries have caused young kids to just destroy their bodies at a younger age.
Right, right.
Now you get like 2 or 3 Tommy John surgeries. You're like, that's nothing.
He's 9.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a pitcher throw a ball in slow motion? It's such a violent thing to do.
Did you see fastballs?
Yeah.
Did you see a documentary on fastballs and on Netflix?
What's it called? Fastballs?
Yes. Fuck, man. You got to watch that, man. Because they were basically saying anything over 100. Who do you think, what pitcher do you think threw the fastest baseball of all time?
Was it Nolan Ryan?
Yeah, it was Nolan Ryan.
Well, shit. Aroldis Chapman throws a ball 106 one time.
Well, he threw it 108.
Okay.
And they were talking about even, it's such an interesting documentary. It's called Fastball. You can watch it. But basically, when it's over 100 miles an hour, your eye can't reach it. So there's batters that say that the ball goes up, right? But there's a split. It's faster than your eyesight. So there's like a second where you lose sight and it looks like it goes up. But when they track it, it doesn't.
It's just right. advancing. Yeah. Yeah.
There was one where they were also saying how players in the 20s and 30s, some of them could play today. That, like, even in the 50s, that there wasn't that big of a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the athletes.
Sometimes,
which is the only sport where, like, you have that. You have Mickey Mantle would be an all-star.
If you have a talent, and if you're not, sometimes being thrown into a more competitive arena brings your talent, raises your level of play because you've been, you know, challenged more.
Right, right.
Now, so those guys back in the day could definitely play today.
So, dude, now I know, you know, you start as a Blue Jays fan, Mets fan now. Who over the years, I mean, just being a fan of baseball, who are some of your favorite teams? You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, you know,
the Phillies team.
93 Phillies were my favorite.
Those two Toronto teams that went back-to-back.
Oh, yeah, Joe Carter.
Joe Carter.
Yeah.
That team when the Braves.
I like the Braves.
Griffin,
Braves,
Ron Gantt,
Braves pitching
Justice.
In the 90s, you know, when you had those guys. I mean, it was like the sickest pitching.
Was that the Ryan Klesko eras?
Yeah.
And you had.
I saw Ryan Klesko play, by the way, in the minor leagues, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the Blue Jays would play the A-ball, the Macon Braves.
Yeah. I like the 93 Phillies because it.
Macon, Georgia? Macon County?
Yeah, it had an A-ball double-A team there.
Only two guys on the 93 Phils look like they actually played baseball. Like, you know what I mean? Everyone else just looked like they were hanging drywall a couple doors down. It's like, you're like,
Kruk,
yeah, it's like,
Kruk.
It's like, is that my plumber? Like, what the fuck is happening
right.
here? How are we winning baseball games? John Kruk
John
is
Kruk
one,
always
John
like
Kruk,
a plumber.
One of my favorite
I love
baseball
Kruk.
Personalities of all time.
He has one
John
testicle.
Kruk.
We used to call him One Nut Kruk.
He's all fat and shit.
Yeah.
He was great.
Does he still do stuff on ESPN?
I think he does.
Hey, you know, they fired, what's the guy from the Phillies?
What's
Mitch
his
Williams.
Name? Yeah.
And I found out why.
Why?
Because he went to his son's Little League game and told his son, oh, that guy's getting binged the next time you can. Beam him. Beam him. And I was like, that's not how we represent.
Yeah, we don't do that here, Mitch.
We don't do that here at
Mitchie
ESPN.
Boo.
And they wanted him to apologize or something. But that's how you play baseball, back in those days, you know? And that's so he got the old school mentality. If you did something that you weren't supposed to do, next time you got up there, you wore that shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
How fired up were you when you saw that Joe Carter home run
to win the World Series? Unbelievable.
Let me tell you this. I remember watching that, and I swear to God, and Mitchie
Williams. I'm really impressed right now because I thought you only knew NASCAR.
No, Mitchie really? Mitch Williams was throwing, and a lot of people gave him shit for how he played that postseason in '93. But Mitchie Williams that year, he had 43 saves.
Yeah, he was great.
So you have to No, he was a wild card, but you have to give him credit for getting the Phillies to that far.
Absolutely. Same thing with Bill Buckner.
But let me tell you this about your boys. about your boys' home run when Joe Carter hit that. I remember watching the game, and Mitch Williams threw so fast. I saw the pitch come in, and I was like, why are they showing the outfield? I didn't even realize that Joe Carter hit that fucking ball. And I'm like, why are they showing the outfield? And then I see someone catch it in the crowd, and I was like, oh, my God, that was
that's,
it.
That's
it took me
–
I couldn't
that's
believe
how fast it.
It. Yeah, that's – dude, I'm telling you, he was a fast pitcher too, you know, but he was wild. And if he put it right there for you and you were a good hitter, which Joe Carter was, that thing was going to be gone, which it was, you know. But
any major league hitter, you put it in the zone, it's just going to get hit.
Were you a pitcher? What were you?
I play right field. They're trying to convert me to first base, but I didn't want to go because they hit that ball hard.
With aluminum bats. That shit comes.
Oh, yeah.
That short hop busts your whole. Miguel Cabrera has broke his orbital bone spring training because one short hop broke his orbital bone.
That's insane.
I was always afraid of that. So I stayed in the outfield where the ball got there nice and slow.
Yeah. And when it gets there, it's like.
But every once in a while, you play in a fast-paced field. And somebody big strong guy hit one down the line. It's coming pretty hard, but never like the infield.
Right.
Those guys, it's something. It's amazing too when you see like a pitcher, whoosh, just fucking catch it right. I mean, those reflexes are sick.
And just going to a baseball game, even a minor league, to smell the wood. You can smell it's beautiful. I love it.
Nah, man.
It's like going to the movie theater. I like the smell of everything.
The popcorn. Yeah, me too, man. I love the smell of
dirt.
Pete. Yeah. Every time I come here, I'm like. God, it smells like fucking just weed and weed and hair.
Oh, I love
By the
it.
Way, I haven't had any since I've been here. Can you guys help me?
Oh, yeah, I'll help you out, buddy.
Are you kidding me, buddy?
I'll get you some
weed. I'll get you some fucking buddy. Blow your mind.
But yeah, God, but
sitting in my room sober for 3 days is killing me.
Any other teams you can think about? And I mentioned the Braves in the 90s because you had Smoltz, you had Glavine.
I'm throwing out the Yankees in the 80s.
Quick question.
I know they didn't win shit, but I love
it. Is this a sports podcast?
Yeah, I mean, now it is. It's a sports podcast now.
It's refreshing, and you don't really get baseball guys.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
There's very few. I mean,
your listeners might turn it off. I don't want to talk and listen to baseball.
Other than you and Brody. I really don't. And Melanie Maldonado came in.
Yeah.
She was a big, huge baseball
player. Brody loves baseball.
Yeah.
He's like a real. Yes.
You know, Judah told me that Brody Stevens was drafted, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, he
I was
Arizona.
Drafted. Yeah, representing the Valley.
Judah tells me that every time I see him.
We used
my friend Brody.
We used to do home run derby out here. It was a bunch of comics. It'd be like me, Steve Byrne, Mike Young, Sebastian. We'd all go out to the field over here and just fucking, you know, play. Brody was pitching heat.
Yeah, Brody's a real, and he still trains like he's gonna play in the majors at some point.
I do the same thing. I go to the gym and train.
Yeah,
I think sports is good for any kid because it's not just the playing the sport. It prepares you for life.
Absolutely.
Right. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
Shit don't get handed to you in sports.
Right.
You have to earn it.
It's a meritocracy. Right. And you know what else is great about it? It teaches you how to compete with your friends.
Exactly.
Teaches you how to take up an L. It teaches you how to handle a W.
Exactly.
Teaches you how to loyalty. There's so
absolutely.
Many things, man.
Absolutely. It
so
teaches
many
you
things,
a lot.
Man.
I'm throwing my son right into the fire, man, next summer, man, because he needs it. He's a fucking...
No,
how old's your son?
8.
Okay, yeah.
My buddy...
He needs something because he's a...
Sports kid. Yeah.
This motherfucker needs baseball.
He needs something, man. Because he's just, you know, you look at him and he does things. You go, why did you do that? You need some sports in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you crying? He cries about, what are you crying for?
Yeah.
All right, but let me ask you this question. If you put a kid in sports, because this is the other thing, and if they don't want it, I think it could be bad. Like, for me, I just...
If they don't want it, they'll eventually get out of it before high school.
But I'm saying, I mean, I think
they don't want to go to piano lessons. My son doesn't want to play piano, but my wife makes him do it.
What kind of bitch-ass shit is that?
Yo, my mom maybe. My mom did the same thing to me. Your parents put their kids in activities, swimming and all that.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily want to do it. Until right. They don't know if they want to do it until you put them into
exactly.
it.
As a father. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If I put them into the sports... Then if he doesn't like it, in 2 or 3 years, he'll stop.
Right, right.
But as a father, don't you think the thing you want to hear is, Dad, I want to play baseball?
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Like, you hear that Rocky dong.
I'm going to try to joke.
What did you say? I want to play baseball.
Right. Exactly, exactly.
What are we waiting for?
My dad is a prime example of that. When I was first introduced to baseball, I wasn't really into it. And all of a sudden, I saw my uncle, the Blue Jays, he had this VHS tape about their rise to prominence in 1992. They didn't win the World Series, I think. Was it 89 with George Bell and them? And they looked, they were just having fun.
Yeah.
And my dad would always say, you know they make millions, right?
Yeah.
he said, you already do this. If you do this well, you can make millions too. And that always stuck in my head. Then I started having fun with it. Then I go, well, now I want to be a big league ball player because I don't have to work.
Yeah.
I could just play baseball and that's work, but it's fun. You know, yeah.
But back then, you didn't even know the concept of money, did you?
I knew what a millionaire was.
You could buy a lot of candy with that
money. I knew what a millionaire was because my dad would always tell me what one was. And it was just Billy Ocean. You go, you know you're a millionaire, right? So then I tried to sing. And I couldn't sing. So I said, what can I do to try to be a millionaire?
Yeah, that's great.
I just wanted to do something you love to do and make money at it, man.
Who else was on the 93 Blue Jays when you guys won the World Series? Wasn't it like Paul Molitor on that one, too?
Paul Molitor.
He was a hitter.
Fucking Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
Devon White.
Yep. You guys had some hitters and runners on that team.
Was Kelly Gruber the third baseman?
I think so.
And Pat Borders was the catcher.
Yep.
I'm in awe of you right now.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah,
he
didn't
great.
Know you like baseball.
No, yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, big fan, big fan. I mean, because you guys had a great team in '93. Obviously, you won the World Series, but you guys had some fucking.
I thought
hitters.
We had a great team.
Paul Molitor was like
the
he
bat
just
flip.
Like, Paul.
I don't even know some of these players.
Paul Molitor looked like
Paul Molitor was a beast.
Dude. Yo, he looked like
no, I know that,
but he just looked like he was like doing your taxes.
Yeah,
or something.
He did.
He just looked like a white guy. Like,
and I'm
just
happy for Paul. He's done well with the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, 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 for sure, for sure. It's always good.
Poor Ryan Sandberg, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He wanted to manage a team so bad, and he got one, and they fired him quick.
Yeah, and when you see baseball players that you like, and they have successful after careers, you're happy. Yeah. But then you see someone like Lenny Dykstra, who's like selling like bogus reverse mortgages or whatever the fuck he's doing. Yeah, he's
but you know what? That's Lenny's fault. Because one thing about baseball, they take care of their own.
Right.
When you're done playing, you can go coach somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Still get a paycheck.
He burned
man.
Bridges everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. If you
Dykstra
keep it,
did.
Yeah, you got to be cool. You got to be a nice guy.
Dude, what do you, I mean, I think the worst is what happened to Pete Rose. I think
yeah.
it's a fucking, you know what
That's
makes,
terrible.
Well, we were talking about this on the sports.
Those guys
thing,
keeping
saying.
Him out probably done worse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what I found out, and again, man, this is just meeting older people without mentioning names, but all the managers back then bet on their team.
Yeah.
The thing that makes Pete even more respectful is he's just acting like it was, you know, he's falling on the, like, he's still not snitching.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he could easily say, oh, yeah, well,
yeah.
X, and X might have done
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he could have did what Jose Canseco did.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Fucking work off his sense.
Right. And what an amazing character and personality in baseball, Pete Rose.
Dude,
you don't get bigger than him. And it's not just
I got to interview him.
Oh really?
Yeah, on Fraser Smith's show. Go ahead. What
were you going to say it's not just the personality. I mean, he's still
the all-time
hit king, you know. I mean, it's, you know, he had the play and the grit to back up everything that he was doing.
Did you see that video that went viral when he was talking to A-Rod and
Frank Thomas
about hitting?
Great video.
Just make a note of that.
As a baseball fan, it
blows
your mind.
Baseball Tonight. On Baseball Tonight, they cut. They were done.
How recent was this?
This is during the World Series of 2016.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. A year ago.
No, I think it was the 2016 World Series. I'm pretty sure.
That's a year ago.
Pete Rose and
Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas and A-Rod.
Yeah.
So basically, the cameras are off. And A-Rod starts. I didn't know A-Rod was. A-Rod's a fucking smart guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the questions he was asking, I think he should get a show.
Dude, we might want to pull this up and just put the aux line into it. Because even hearing it's pretty amazing.
All right, yeah. I mean, I don't know if people are going to get
it. It's pretty amazing.
People are going to turn this podcast off at the last sports.
No, I mean.
I ain't talking about this baseball all day.
We got great listeners.
Okay. We got great. This is worth it. Because we've actually talked about this clip on the podcast before. So basically what this is you have Pete Rose talking. Now, they're standing in a batter's box. You have Pete Rose, Frank Thomas, and Alex Rodriguez.
And you know what? Oh, you're going to love this. Patrice hated baseball and would always tease me about it. He would text me, BJ Upton stinks. Why is he getting paid so much money? I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Just to piss you off?
Yeah, just to piss me off. He would just send me random texts. Yeah. Why is Josh Hamilton getting paid so much money? Because he's amazing. And then he would go, baseball has no momentum. He would start to get serious. And me and Matt Frost would jump on him. What do you mean baseball don't have no momentum? People that don't like baseball and don't respect baseball, I know a lot of people like that. They don't know the intricacies of the game.
I'll be honest with you.
That's why I can't watch it on TV. I can watch it on a game. Right. I mean, I can watch the World Series and shit.
Right, right.
But I can't go watch just – because, you know, any game – I'm sorry.
People go hit, run, catch. That's all they know.
Yeah.
But they don't –
pitch,
they don't,
hit, and run.
Yeah, that's all
Burger
they know.
King.
But they don't know how the pitcher's setting up this hitter. Yeah. Or they don't know that Barry Bonds choked up on the bat.
Yeah, it's a delicate dance.
This is exactly
dance.
Why he's going to love is. This. Listen to this, man. This is great.
Just like that? What size bat?
34, 33.
Never less than 35, never more than 36 inch.
Really?
What? 35, 35, you mean?
No, I use 32, 33 ounce.
But
35 inch. One time I used a 36S2, but I choked up like this. See, let me tell you why.
You have a stroke recently?
Because when you get into a wall, you never admit you're in a slump. Oh, right. Don't ever let a pitcher tell you you're in a slump. I would tell people you do one of six things when you get into a wall. You know what they are?
Yeah.
Okay?
No, tell me.
All right? Closer to the plate. Further away from the plate. Up in the box. Back in the box. Choke up in the bat more. Choke down the bat more.
Never change your swing.
Make it heavier, make it lighter. Never change your swing. Your swing got you to the big leagues. You change your positioning of
but just
in the batter's box.
Isn't that amazing?
But you hear what he's saying. A-Rod and Frank Thomas are just in awe.
They're some of the best hitters in the world ever.
Their minds are blown because of just that simple principle of not changing your swing. Adjusting where you are in the box. Adjusting where you are in the box and what you're doing on the weight of the bat is what, you know, is what Pete Rose is trying to say.
You don't want to fucking change your swing.
Yeah.
But when I was talking to him on the radio, I asked him, I said, do you anticipate what pitch is coming and swing, or do you just watch it come in? And what do you think he said?
What?
What do you think? Do you think he anticipated the pitch and swing where the ball's going to be? Because I heard batters say that.
I was taught to hit what's pitched, guessing, even though people guess all the time. You hit what's pitched, you adjust. But you always hunt the fastball. But there's different philosophies to hitting.
Yeah, he just said, I ain't that smart. He goes, I watch it come in and just swung like hell.
Yeah, exactly. You just. But some hitters are blessed that way.
You know?
Some people are more talented than others.
As a switch hitter, he was also saying that, you know, he was obviously more powerful righty, but lefty was where he hit better lefty. You know, okay. Because, you know, there's not that many left-handed pitchers or going up against, righties as a lefty. You're at right, an advantage. Right, is that correct? Right. But anyways, it's just interesting. Watch that, man, because we don't want to bore people.
I think it would be a fun list. I mean, because Harris is here, we've talked so much baseball at this point. If we did like a top 10, there doesn't have to be a science to what we're about to discuss, but maybe like the top, our top 10 favorite baseball personalities or it could mix, you know, the player themselves as well, what they did on the field, off the field.
Do we have to watch him? Like, I think Ty Cobb, and I just read this whole book about how he got fucking, that all that racist shit was not true. There was a sports writer. Did you read that book?
I wanted to say something else. Go ahead.
But there was a sports writer that had it in for him.
Yeah.
And that created a lot of this stuff about him that wasn't even true.
Okay.
So he wasn't a racist?
No. That
I heard he was a crazy racist.
This was all from this book that this fucking sports writer wrote. But then they found all these people that were defending him going, no, this isn't true.
Yeah.
That this one fucking writer.
He didn't spit on people?
Oh, no. He played rough on the field. They said he was a dirty player. But I mean, it was just an
Now you have Ty Cobb, the lawyer, who's representing Donald Trump. Did you see what he looks like?
No.
He's got like a handlebar. He looks like a racist. And then the other... Yeah,
every hipster's a racist because they have handlebar mustache?
And then the other attorney for Trump is John Dowd. Do you know who he is?
From the Dowd Foundation?
No, John Dowd was the attorney that fucking went after Pete Rose for the MLB and got him busted.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of different connections to baseball in the White House right now.
Dude, Lou Piniella is one of my favorite
players. Lou Piniella is
But Hal McRae, Brian McRae's father, you should pull that up. When they tried to interview him after a loss, he fucking loses his mind. You ever seen that shit?
No.
Pull up Hal, you got it. Pull up Hal McRae loses it. And they go, so what do you think? I'm sick of all these goddamn rips.
I think I've seen that one. Is that for the Blue Jays?
No, he played. That was when he was managing the Royals.
Right. Yeah, because he's in a blue.
Yeah, the Royals.
I've seen that one.
Oh, so I can watch it every. I can watch it 100 times.
Pete Rose would have to be near the top of this list.
Oh yeah, he was great
too.
Absolutely.
I think. I mean, just as a character.
Ed fucking Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Mickey Mantle was. They said that dude used to just come in drunk. Babe Ruth is number one. Babe Ruth was banging hookers. He was an orphan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was fucking drunk as shit.
We'll put Babe Ruth at number one.
And we got to put Doc Gooden and...
Doc and Daryl. We'll put together.
We'll
put Doc and Daryl together. Yeah.
Daryl Strawberry is so talented. He hit 3 home runs with a hangover.
Yeah. Yeah. Doc and Daryl definitely has...
So, yeah, this is the one I saw right here. This is hilarious.
I didn't want to get myself into a situation where all I had to go after him was all right. And our lefts were swinging the bats well, so I wanted my left-handed hitters to hit.
Did you consider Brett for Miller with the bases loaded in the seventh?
No. Don't ask me all these stupid-ass questions. No. In the... stupid-ass questions every night. Find the I hit Brett for Miller. Miller signed the pitchers, Brad is not playing this stuff in the pitchers. Why the f*** I bat for Miller? You think I'm a goddamn fool?
he's throwing everything.
Yeah, he's in like the other room now.
He just threw this fucking tape recorder.
He's sick of all these goddamn questions every night.
You guys know from you players. And they can do any thing they want to do.
Guys, go look at Hal McRae goes nuts. Just put it Hal McRae goes nuts. It's fucking hilarious. It is funny, man. Dude, I'm you know, again, this is I think this is what sports is missing.
Absolutely.
You know, because 70s, 80s, even up to like early 2000s.
There's no more arguments.
Speaking of that.
Remember when they pulled a base out the fucking base hole?
Yeah, and then just
shit?
Throw it.
They don't do that anymore.
George
because,
Brett fucking rushing.
We should definitely talk about this. I think in 20 years, I don't know if I'll be able to recognize professional baseball anymore. They changing so much.
Yeah.
What do you mean electronic strike zone? Fuck you. What the umpires do it?
Whoa. What about that fucking Pittsburgh Steelers-Cincinnati Bengals game that was last Monday night? Okay, I know you're listening to this. It would have been 2 Monday nights from when you're listening to this. That was some grown man fucking AFC North real rivalry hitting. And then the ESPN started sending out apologies to people because, you know, that's when Juju – are you a fan of football at all or no?
No, nothing.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Hey, there was a guy who cracked back down on a linebacker who's for Cincinnati, who's a known – guy's a known dirty player. But it was a beautiful hit. And this was the same hit that made Hines Ward famous, who was on the sidelines. The game was very physical. They started handing out fines to these young players, okay, and for doing their fucking job. So now the ESPN's apologizing. These kids are getting suspended for fucking playing football the way it's supposed to be played.
Right.
The insanity of the whole fucking thing is that everybody acts like in football it's about the concussions. We'll get back to baseball. Do you know what the number one sport for concussions is?
Hockey?
No.
I thought it was football.
Female soccer.
Are you serious?
Dead fucking serious. The more the combat sports, MMA, boxing, has way more concussions than the NFL. But nobody gives a fuck about that because you can't file a class action lawsuit against the player.
The roughest live sport I've ever seen was women's college soccer.
Dude, no, they
insane.
And if I
sounds like something like a master.
Yeah, yeah. When the ref isn't looking, these bitches are like holding the chick down by her hair. The ref turns around, she lets go.
Football
elbows.
Football is not going to be
collarbones.
And the other
baseball
thing, too,
is getting crazy.
I don't blame the millennial kids because, you know, everybody's like the millennials are soft. It's like, no, nah, because Mike Mitchell for the Steelers in the locker room, he wants to be great.
Yeah.
He's like, then just make us play flag football. Stop saying all these kids are soft because they're like, yo, could Ronnie Lott even play today with this,
right,
with these rules?
Right.
Right. Ronnie Lott wouldn't have been Ronnie Lott. But Buckus even fucking
so what's going on?
Atwater. Come it's just in. They're
you can't tackle people anymore?
No, they're saying that you have to. There's certain rules in hitting now that you can't spear or anything, right?
Okay,
it's probably
a
headphones.
Football when I was
because mine
in
sound
high school.
Great
okay.
in mine.
So I'm familiar with how it works.
Well, what's happening now is that, and just for the record, they act like they're caring about the player's health.
Right, right.
But
right.
they don't give a fuck. There's nothing worse.
So what's in it for them, man?
As a tight end, no class action suits.
Okay.
Because if they really cared about the player's health, why the fuck are you trying to add games to the schedule and
right.
flying people to London
right.
on a short week? As a receiver, because I played tight end in high school and I was a linebacker in college. If you're asked to pull up, okay, it sucks for both players. Both players are more at risk. One, if you have to move your head a certain way, you know, you're gonna fuck. You could fuck your neck up. You can, and also as a receiver, you don't want to get hit low. I'd take a concussion over a blown out knee any fucking day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But football's becoming unrecognizable, and baseball, which is a fucking a great point. It's you don't have the
fire. You can't
fire.
Take the player out and take a base anymore. I don't so much mind that because motherfuckers be getting fucked up.
Yeah,
and bust
yeah.
apart. I don't so much mind that, but it's all these little things. Well, Big Poppy step out of the box. I mean, he find me. I'm gonna step out of the box.
Yeah,
do slap the spit, do the shit.
Yeah.
Man, it's just
a lot of it. You know,
every year is something new. Should we do this? Should we do that?
Yeah, and you can't mess with. You can't mess with the, you know, especially if you're a batter. It's a. I mean, whether you're pitching or you're batting, there's a mental preparedness you need before every at bat. And whatever sort of thing, whether it's readjusting the fucking the glove Velcro on your batting gloves or stepping out, you do a spit, you do a shirt tug or whatever it is.
Yeah, I've never seen more superstitious players.
No,
baseball's all superstitious.
No, it's all superstition, but it's also there is this little comfort thing. You need to be so focused.
Yeah.
If you have this little itch on your shirt, whatever it is, it's like you need to prepare yourself for that. You know, and the last thing you should be doing is trying to adjust the baseball being played. You
know
what I mean?
How Corey Kluber don't have something that Dr. House has to fix because he licks his fingers after every pitch.
Yo.
It's been
look,
scruffed on the dirt.
This picture, we'll put it on the Patreon page.
Yeah.
This picture sums up the way guys used to play and what the sports used to be to what it is now. This is halftime during the Super Bowl, and there's Len Dawson smoking a fucking cigarette.
Yeah.
And drinking a beer.
That's amazing.
That's Bush League.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that's
good, yeah.
That's
amazing. And the baseball players back in the day,
they'd
be drinking beers and fucking smoking cigarettes.
That's amazing. Text that to me.
Chicken in Boston.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck. These were men that, you know, and ever since, and I personally think, and we all know why, I mean, it's a paradox. Because the players are making more money. The reason why they're making more money is because of the TV deals.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the TV deals, now you have to abide a certain way.
They're
know
coddling
I mean?
The players a little too much.
Yeah, well, they're also
–
it's
got
to be family friendly. They have
right.
to protect the investments. They have to do all of that. So, I mean, and as the sport grows, you want it – there's going to be changes. There always has been. But at the core of it, it's still alpha males
mm-hmm.
battling alpha males.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needs to be – there's no betas in professional sports.
Right.
Let's just get that out there.
Right.
I'm not even talking physically. First of all, you got to physically – you're already an alpha. Because
even
the little dude for Houston who's fucking amazing, I love that kid.
Right. Altuve?
Yeah, Altuve.
My daddy called him the little midget.
That motherfucker.
He said, that midget can hit.
that
midget can hit.
So, you know, you're not looking at a guy who's 6'4", like
right.
like Aaron Judge.
Right, right.
But – even the mentality is that of an alpha competitor.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's
you get to that level?
You
absolutely.
Got to be. I mean, you're talking about the 1% of the 1%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you understand how exceptional you have to be?
To be a professional.
They're going
to
be fucked up. They're going to be fucking crazy. They're going to drink. They're going to fuck. You know, they're animals. Not baseball as much as football, but
right,
I'm
right.
just
I get
saying.
What you're saying. Yeah.
And now you want to take away from rushing the mound. You know, stealing the third base.
Well, you could never rush. You could rush the mound. You're just going to get fined or suspended.
It's like that story where John Kruk was in a bar in Philly the night before a World Series game. And this lady walks up to him. He's having a beer at the bar. And this lady walks up to him and goes, "Hey, aren't you John Kruk? You're a professional athlete." And he goes, "I'm not a professional athlete, lady. I'm a ball player." That's good. That's, you know what I mean? That's
perfect.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There was a story where Dan Fouts, did I ever tell you ever hear this? For the quarter, he got shot. You ever hear this story?
I don't know.
It was like back in the 80s where he was fucking another dude's wife. I don't know if this is true or not.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing can confirm this.
Brett Facts.
Right.
No, not Brett. This is a legitimate legitimate story.
Go on.
And by the way, when we check out Brett Facts, you're the one that didn't know you're born female. You fucking idiot. Anyways, long story boring, that he was fucking and the dude came home, shot him, and took off running, and the motherfucker grazed his leg, but he still played.
Did he really? Put a Band-Aid on it. He had the trainer wrap it.
Like these, like, you ever seen North Dallas 40? You ever seen that movie?
No, no.
About the, it was like loosely based off the Cowboys in the 70s. I mean, that's what you're getting.
Yeah.
These guys, like the
professional. Hey man, this is life. This is what we do.
Yeah.
I think sometimes society tries to hide the dark side of life, but they're gonna see it anyway. Why are you hiding it from them?
Harris,
no, absolutely.
Harris, you mentioned Lou Piniella, dude. Tell me your love for Lou.
I just love the way he used to just lose his fucking mind.
Yeah.
Spitting everywhere. His face is red. I just watch him lose his mind.
You put, not Saberhagen, do you put George Brett on this list?
Because
I know he had that one blow up, but he was really known for being a hot.
No, nah, I mean, I don't think I would. I think
you don't put Dykstra on this list.
No, I think Ricky Henderson as a player and a personality. I think.
But what made him so? He wasn't that.
I mean, he just, you know.
All right. Do we have Gooden and Strawberry? We're combining them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll have Gooden.
They smoke rock together and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. You know,
they were hanging out with fucking El DeBarge.
This guy would have been, but he wasn't talented enough to do the things he was trying to do. But Milton Bradley, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
But he wasn't talented enough to do – well, he was talented, but he just never put up the numbers enough to be crazy. So eventually they got him out the game.
Yeah, yeah. He was great.
In order, Manny Ramirez, in order to act like that, you have to be
good. You have to be really good.
Yeah. Milton Bradley was great.
Yeah, like Daryl Strawberry and they were hanging out with Shalimar.
Fucking Manny Ramirez was taking a piss when a pitch was thrown.
Manny Ramirez is great.
He came out.
Do we throw him on the list? You got to put him.
We'll put him on the list. Should we put Manny further up or further down
further
on the list?
Further down for now.
Okay. Yeah. We'll put him at number
9. Babe Ruth is number 1.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth gave zero fucks.
Yeah.
He could care less
about
it.
Babe Ruth would go in the middle of a game and go get a hot dog out of the stands. Hey, guy, come here. And go up there.
But he literally, they were saying he could. He was pitching. He was probably pitching 100 back then.
I'm putting Pete Rose at number 2 for now.
But Pete, here's the thing with Pete, though. Pete was just a competitor. How do I say? He wasn't flamboyant. He wasn't like, the only thing that got him in trouble was the gambling. But I meant,
he had his own flair. He dove, and he said,
but he was known.
He used to dive into bases face first because he knew it would be in the paper. He knew that was the picture they were going to show.
I just remember my grandfather when I was a kid, I had this thing where you hit the ball and it would come back to you. It was attached to like a rubber rope.
Yeah.
It was a Pete Rose thing. You had to plant it in the ground. And I used to play on the side of my grandparents' house. But the reason why we were watching one time, my grandfather goes, "Come here." He goes, "What?" And he goes, "Watch this guy play." And he said, that's the way you got to take that in everything you do in life.
Yeah.
And even though he was a Mets fan, Pete Rose embodied blue collar, lunch pail, factory worker.
It worked because you remembered it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's what, you know. That's why I think he should be on this list. In that it wasn't just about his amazing accomplishments on the field. It was a mind state of playing. It was about that guy would sprint. They used to make fun of him for sprinting to first base, even though that he knew he was going to be out. He would fucking run. He was 100% all the time.
I got no problems with it.
100% all the time.
Who was like the ultimate party guy? Was
Doc and Daryl?
Doc and Daryl.
Some other players would beg to differ because they would party a lot, but we don't know who they are.
Well, they said Mickey Mantle used to fucking go
Roberto Alomar. Roberto Alomar spit in the ump's face. My uncle played 9 years in the big leagues. He played with Bobby Bonds and he played with Sandy Alomar Sr. And he said that back in the day, Sandy Alomar Jr. and Roberto would come to the father would bring him to the field. And Roberto was always like the one that they had to. Roberto, stop it. Don't do that. One time he hid from his mother at Angel Stadium and they couldn't find him. Roberto, I heard he has HIV, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's good to get a couple of AIDS rumors out in the podcast.
You know what I mean? Who else
has AIDS? Who else has AIDS?
No, thanks, buddy. Thank you for that.
Dykstra's only thing was apparently when they would switch, you know, when they'd get the three outs, he'd come back into the dugout. Whoever would go out to fucking center field had to navigate a fucking mound of just chaw. Like, he just would spit. He just had a fresh fucking hunk of just of red man just all over the fucking the center field.
They try to ban that, but the major leagues still do it.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
You can't do it in the minor leagues. I think they still do it. How you gonna tell what's in my mouth?
Yeah, exactly. It's gum.
Yeah, it's gum. Yeah.
Did you ever chew?
Yeah, it was the cult part of the culture.
Oh yeah,
and I stopped immediately when I stopped playing baseball. Yeah. But when I had me some Copenhagen. I the whole
used to dip it.
Yeah,
oh, that's hell some grown yeah, man like, that's shit. A gentleman shit right there, boy.
I got sick for about a week, but then my body got used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as I stopped playing baseball, I never did it again.
Yeah. Well, nicotine, you know, they've found that, you know, nicotine does it does something to your focus. A lot of writers use it, actually.
I used to dip.
Yeah.
I used to put exactly. it in.
Exactly.
So what'd you say? So does cocaine?
Yeah.
Cocaine?
Ask Doc and Daryl. They fucking knew. They knew the values of
Doc
cocaine.
Said they used, I mean, Daryl said they used to take a pill, and it wasn't cocaine, but it was something that make them focus.
Yep.
He said it made the ball look like a beach ball.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why he was a beast.
That 30 for 30 was awesome, the Doc and Daryl one.
Did you see Flair's 30 for 30? It was amazing. Me and Burr talking about that. Amazing. He didn't give a shit.
Dude, Burr actually, I was so mad because when I was taping in Atlanta, mm-hmm. I had to leave on a Tuesday and Burr was down there doing, I think he was doing a film down there.
Okay.
And he goes, yo, I got two tickets to the premiere for the 30 for 30. You want to go? And I'm like, fuck, man.
Where did they do those at?
They premiered it in Atlanta.
What, the Flair?
The Ric Flair
one. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they recorded it all over, but I'm saying they premiered that 30 for 30. Okay. They had like a premiere party, and Ric Flair was there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I would
love
it.
He had fucking tickets.
You couldn't go.
That's amazing.
I was flying. I had to go back on Wednesday day. I almost changed my fucking flight.
What about
Tim Lincecum for the Giants? You put Tim in there?
Tim Lincecum?
Yeah.
He didn't lose his mind a lot, did he?
Well, I'm looking here, and I was looking at
the guy with the long hair. They
smoking weed and all that other shit.
The freak?
Yeah. Then there's no photo of him.
Tim Lincecum?
Yeah. The picture. Nope. For the Giants. They got him as number one as the craziest. Who's the guy that pitched?
Oh, what's his last name? Are you saying his last name right?
Lincecum, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tim Lincecum. Yeah, yeah. He looks like he was like...
a little boy.
Yeah, he looked like he was...
Not a professional athlete.
Yeah, he looked like he was in the trench coat mafia.
Yeah, exactly.
And Columbine.
Exactly.
He looked like he was about to fucking shoot up the fucking the high school.
Reggie Jackson was
going to
say fucking out there.
He had an
ego as a motherfucker.
Yeah, he was.
I was going to say...
Reggie has to be on that
list. That's who I was going to mention
What was it? The drink? The straw that stirs the drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson was the one I was just going to mention. I think he deserves to be in the top five, actually.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson's up there.
He's because right now I have Babe Ruth number one, Pete Rose at two. I have Lou Piniella at number three right now, and Reggie Jackson at four, Doc and Daryl at six, Manny Ramirez is at nine. So we do have some open spots here.
You know who's good?
I'd like to put John Kruk on this list as well.
What about Ryan Dempster from the Cubs? Didn't he used to like do pranks and shit?
He wasn't wild.
All those guys.
More of a comedian.
Yeah, he was more like a comedian and stuff, right? Didn't he do like a Harry Carey?
Harry, he was funny, man.
Yeah, but I would throw him bottom 10. I mean,
I thought we were talking about negative stuff.
Oh, it's both. It could be both.
Okay, It could be both. That's why I wanted to mention. I think John Kruk was funny. You know, he was just a character. He was like one of my favorite personalities in baseball. There was a time that he went on the Letterman, and it was around the time when who got in trouble with the cork bat? I'm trying to think who it was.
Albert Bell.
Albert Bell.
Albert Bell was a beast.
Yeah.
But I heard the story that the cork bat got stolen by one of the players because they replaced it with another bat. Some guy ran through the pipes in this clubhouse, like some Mission Impossible shit, got the bat.
Just came down with the fucking...
got the bat and replaced it with another bat so Albert can play the next year. You're not getting Albert out of... We got another series to play. So they changed the bat so he wouldn't get in trouble.
That's hilarious.
And there was nothing they could do about it.
Letterman asked John Kruk if he's ever played with a cork bat.
List, right?
he asked John Crock, have you ever played with a corked bat? And he goes, well, Dave, I've fondled a few.
After Abba Bell stopped playing, he started stalking his girlfriend in Arizona. I read that. Put a tracking device on her car and all types of shit. Abba Bell's nuts.
Puts on diapers and drives 20 hours to stalk her.
I heard Nick Swisher was a little bit of a clown. I heard
he was
like
a funny guy.
Funny guy. Yeah.
Swisher was actually a good baseball personality. That's actually a good call.
Yeah.
Nick Swisher's good.
Swishalicious. I hate to call him.
Nick Swisher. And his dad was a major leaguer too. Steve Swisher.
Okay, yes.
He was a big personality, Swisher, and he was a good baseball player.
Forgetting a great one.
Who?
Canseco.
Oh, dude.
I mean, I've never seen a guy.
Fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger playing baseball.
Fucking go down. You know, people used to say that about Barry Bonds. They're like, you know, take a picture of Barry Bonds and put him next to a regular baseball player. And I'm like, take a picture of Barry Bonds and put it next to a picture of Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
But think about it.
It was like a fucking.
Oh, it's night and day.
It's night and day.
Well, he was always like a mammoth guy.
Though. Yeah. He was always a big guy.
He got bigger with the steroids, but he was always like.
Same thing with Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire.
Always big.
Yeah, I mean, he was a big dude, but then when
Barry Bonds went from 185 to 230.
I know.
If you look at Mark McGwire's rookie card, it's way different than
that's why fucking Derek
like
Jeter.
Popeye.
Derek Jeter to be successful in that steroid era of baseball. Because to me, Jeter is probably one of the top five greatest of all time.
Yeah,
would you not?
Yeah.
I mean,
this is why we come up with lists but I'm saying for him to accomplish what he accomplished when all the fucking juice was going on. You know, and
Griffey too. Griffey never was any.
No, Ken Griffey is. I mean, it's so hard to do top five. I mean, if I were to do, who would you put number? If Nolan Ryan is probably the greatest.
If Griffey hadn't got injured while he was in those years with Cincinnati, he'd hit 700.
Oh yeah,
he hit 630, and he was injured like 4 years in a row.
Do you realize Nolan Ryan, by the way, pitched in like five decades?
Yeah,
Nolan Ryan was
50s, 60s, 70s,
he's one of those players,
80s,
that,
90s, and even 2000.
Everybody
right?
can't do that. Some people's bodies just can do it.
Yeah,
you know,
he said
he threw 90 when he was throwing 99. When he retired, he was still throwing.
It was
99.
Like in early 2000, right, or 99? When did he retire?
Like early 2000.
Early 2000. So
and he was still throwing 100 miles an hour.
He started at the end of the 50s, right, or 60s.
Nolan Ryan. Yeah.
My uncle got traded for Nolan Ryan and Jim remember that Mets trade with Nolan Ryan, Jim Fregosi? My uncle was in that trade.
Get out of here.
Bobby Stanton was in that trade. Yep.
No way.
Yep.
That was a big one.
Yeah. People were upset.
Yeah.
Boy, it was 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000. It's five decades he pitched.
Yeah, and we're still throwing 90. Most motherfuckers can't do that.
Well, you got to put Nolan Ryan, I would say, as probably the greatest of all time. I mean, accomplishment-wise and longevity,
I mean,
he said
know.
He threw one pitch and he heard something snap. And he
I don't
goes,
know. Fucking
end.
Greg Maddux was amazing.
Greg Maddux.
Yeah. And the unit. The six.
Oh, yeah.
Unit.
Randy Johnson was amazing. He was fun. Killed a seagull.
killed
a bird.
I've been watching baseball. I'm sure you've been watching baseball for over 20 years. I still see shit I've never seen before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. Does that happen in any other sport?
Yeah.
Because
I don't watch other sports.
No, but that's the thing. There is a dynamic quality to like we're just talking about who the best baseball players are. Are we talking hitting, pitching, fielding?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of, like, I would put Ozzie Smith on certain lists that, you know, because he was this dynamic fucking fielder.
Do you know Mickey Mantle?
Ball kill a bird.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Is a ball ever kill a bird
well,
in football?
I was going to say, the reason for that is just there's so much downtime in baseball and people are just fucking grazing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you have a little animal scurry on the field and fucking.
But
soccer
is
the same way.
The whole baseball is so, like, what did I see the other day? Just little things on the field, a play that I've never seen before.
Right.
People
right.
die. I mean, I saw that thing where in Japan they're putting the nets up, but in American baseball, people get, you never see it.
Yeah.
But they get fucking beamed.
You need to fucking pay attention. If you're going to sit in that area,
you need to fucking
you need to pay
watch.
Attention. If
for
you're
a flying,
baseball
a flying
fan,
bat,
absolutely.
A ball. Yeah.
All you see are those fucking girls that got good tickets on their phone.
Yeah. And you'll get hit in the head.
You're going to get fucking your nose
There's
broken.
There's a bat coming at your head right now.
A shard.
Look up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A shard, son. A
I
sharp
say,
shard,
I
son.
I would say baseball, out of all the sports, is probably the most dangerous. If you think about it. You could die in a baseball game probably more likely than in a football game.
I don't know. I don't have to get hit in baseball.
But I'm saying you get hit on with a ball.
You get hit with a ball.
You got a fucking object coming at you.
That's not every day, though.
100 miles per hour.
Yeah, but it's not every day you don't get hit every day.
Kirby Puckett, man. Kirby Puckett. I mean, his vision went to shit.
Every play in football could be the end of your career.
I'm talking about as a fan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, as a fan, yeah. That's the most dangerous as a fan.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Because people, I mean, you got 100 miles. Sometimes those balls fucking go into the stands.
Yeah. As a fan, yeah, you're right.
Nobody's getting hit with a football at a game.
The puck, they at least put that fucking, you know, there's a glass around there.
Why do hockey players are never in trouble? Because you know what? Because they take it all out on the ice.
Yeah.
But you never hear hockey players off of the rink like football players and baseball players.
No hockey players carrying a fucking gun in his sweatpants.
No. Oh, they're also all white, so that has something to do with it.
A hockey player's playing with fireworks in the offseason.
They're all from Canada, so that might have something to do with it.
Hockey players still miss teeth?
It's
like the UFC fighters with cauliflower ear. All of them have cauliflower ear.
You can tell that's a wrestler.
Yeah.
So what's on the list? Who we got?
Well, right now we have, I put Albert Bell at 10, Manny Ramirez at 9, John Crux at 8, Jose Canseco is
Crux
at 7.
Top 5.
Yeah, I want to put Crux higher. Doc and Darryl's at 6, empty top 5, we'll put Crux there. Reggie Jackson, Lou Piniella, Pete Rose, and Babe Ruth. This is actually a pretty solid list right now.
You know what wound that all baseball players, well, not pitchers, but all baseball players have, what wound?
Tommy John?
No. Because players don't get time. Well, a lot of times players don't get it. It's the strawberries from sliding.
Oh, wow.
I still have one. I haven't played 20 years. When you slide, the skin rubs off, and it's like raw.
Yeah.
And if you don't let it heal, it's there for life. I still have one. I haven't played in 20 years.
And it like destroys the upper capillaries, too. It's like sort of explodes.
It's just a mark right here.
Yeah.
Every baseball player has one. Man. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Every
Did you ever switch legs to slide?
No, because you slid what was comfortable.
I know, but
but even
like,
if you did, that one would get strawberried up too.
Yeah. Got strawberries everywhere.
And hitters' hands are a baseball Callous. Player's hands are fucking rough as shit.
Oh,
from
dude!
Swinging a bat every day.
I shook Ryan Howard's hand once, and it was like, first of all, he was like shaking my whole forearm. Yeah. I'm like, my tiny hands going in there. And his hand, it was like, I felt like I was shaking hands with a fucking marble statue.
Yeah, man.
His hands were all fucked up.
Dude, you know, this is what I love about our show. And there's probably people that have, I know Fridge is listening and he's a sports fan. But our podcast, is there anywhere else that we're knowledgeable on so many topics?
Yeah, I could tell you about the intricacies of Ryan Howard's hand.
Yeah. You know what I'm just saying? Like, what else are you fucking on a podcast?
Yeah.
Now, I know we did baseball, which isn't popular.
Yeah.
We did the Indian kids last week.
Yeah. No, we're touching a lot.
We
touch a lot of bases.
I love the fact that we don't even have a topic.
Yeah. Well, listen, now check this out. We have our top 10 favorite baseball personalities. There's one spot open on this list. If anyone should not be on this list, let me know. Right now we have Albert Bell, Manny Ramirez, Jose Canseco, Doc and Darryl, John Crux, Reggie Jackson, Lou Piniella, Pete Rose, Babe Ruth. We have one spot open. The number 8 spot is open. We could switch these around.
Ty Cobb in there nowhere?
Ty Cobb? I'll put Ty Cobb in there.
Yeah, Ty Cobb has to be in there.
All right, we'll put Ty Cobb in. So, boom.
Definitely has to be in there. You see that movie?
Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know.
Tommy Lee Jones.
This was just an article I read where people were coming to his defense.
Yeah,
you can Google it.
Yeah.
But apparently this writer had it fucking in for him.
Yeah, I'd be interested to find out about that.
Can one writer destroy you?
I think back then, there's no one. You know,
absolutely.
Information is controlled at that point through books and articles.
Right.
If you had people out for you, or you could have one journalist that wants to destroy you,
well,
and
I wonder
then get
why
it.
He had it out. He just didn't like the guy.
They explained it in the article where
some old timey beef.
No, he was a prominent reporter, and he demanded something, and Ty Cobb pretty much told him to go fuck himself. Like, you know, and there was this beef between the two of them. And this guy was like, all right, you want to play? Let's play. But it wasn't even that so much.
I don't feel sorry for him. I tell you that shit.
Who?
Ty Cobb.
Well, I mean, fucking guy. I mean, if he was a dick, he was a dick.
Yeah.
Well, he did slide with metal cleats. That's
I don't know. Is that a myth? He used to sharpen his shit.
Let me look it up.
Are you looking
it up now?
No.
He sharpened his cleats and would cut people.
I got to do Pete's tweets because we have our list filled out here. I got to do Pete's tweets real fast. Make sure you tweet us at YOTL Podcast. A couple of Pete's tweets, getting back to some recent stuff here. Chris Hodorowski. He says, maybe share your best recipes. Top 10 home cooking for bachelors. Number 1, chicken parm. 2, shrimp scampi. 3, your mom's meatloaf.
You know what I do?
4, he's got like a full list written out here. It's hilarious. And then he said, yes, that's a decent list we could maybe do.
Dude, listen, I'm going to give you guys a little. Oh, nah, fuck that. It's family secret. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. Don't, yeah. Don't drop.
I'll tell
some,
you guys off the
like
air.
Like Bush's baked beans.
No. It's a lot of people put salt, but this is better than salt, especially when you're making, say, a scampi or a because you're not supposed to use salt, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you want to go, I'll explain it to you afterwards.
Nancy Gauchy, the Gouch.
The Gouch.
She just tweeted. Just subscribe to the BrettComedy.com mailing list. Everyone should do this. He is bloody hilarious. She used the word bloody, so it's got to be real, guys. Martin Abdullahad said, Brett Ernst, Dunn, me, and 2 of my boys going to come down and see you in Kent. So make sure you are aware that he's coming.
Jesus, that sounds like a threat. We coming to see
you,
Brett.
We're coming to see you, son. Brett. Take care of that. Johnny Donuts, he's asking, Brett, are you going to be at the Stress Factory on December 28th and 30th too? Not just New Year's? So what is the answer to that? You tweeted him back.
He might be if he comes down. I know New Year's
Eve is
going to be.
Are you
going to
be there?
Oh, I'm there, yes. Okay. I thought they were talking about you.
No, you.
We're just putting the New Year's Eve tickets on because we're selling the New Year's Eve tickets. But to all the listeners out there, yeah, I'm going to be there that Friday and Saturday, and we're just doing New Year's Eve Sunday night.
Also, Gauchy, she says, great opening song and a mention of Midnight Oil. Shout out to Australia. So Midnight Oil is Australian. Guys, keep tweeting us at YOTL Podcast. We're doing some episodes sort of back-to-back right now, so I don't have a lot of Pete's tweets to read out to you guys. But make sure you keep tweeting us. Also, Peter Davoli, he says, I saw a band last night called the Pastaways. Everyone made fun of me for being a greaseball because I pronounced it Pastaways. What a guinea story. when it's actually the Pastaways. So, yeah, he can't get pasta off the mouth. Anyway, guys, YOTL Podcast.
Dude, wait,
those are Peace Tweets brought to you by JR's Ocean Bar and Grill in Seaside Heights. Make sure you go there.
Pizza,
and Maruka's Pizza.
And Revolution
Pies,
Graphics.
And Press Brothers Juicery.
And Press Brothers.
Yeah.
All right, really quick. So this is what it says. This is an article in the New York Post, but it's just about how Ty Cobb was framed a racist.
Okay.
And it's from this book, Ty Cobb, A Terrible Beauty. And
Terrible Beauty.
And was he a wife beater, all that stuff. And a lot of this came from this reporter.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean,
what year was that? It's not far-fetched that he was a racist. I mean, back then, everybody was racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this is a recent book.
What years did he play?
Who, Ty Cobb?
Like in the 30s, 20s,
and
30s,
yeah, he's a
right?
fucking racist. Everybody was a racist in the 30s.
That's
yeah,
what was happening.
Was. Yeah, but I'm saying
in their 30s or during the
30s.
Okay, everyone's a racist when they're in the 30s.
Over 6 years earlier.
Yeah, exactly. It just ended.
You know, it's
give
so,
these people time.
It's so funny when my grandmother, when I was talking to her about that whole era, about everything, and she said nobody gave it thought.
Gave what thought?
Just all the you just were everybody.
Yeah, because
was,
that's how you would nurture.
Everybody was poor.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like nobody sat there and go, "Oh, those blacks. No, right. Those Jews. No, yeah. Nobody fucking." Everybody was struggling. Like Ty Cobb when
yeah,
he was
but
18.
But you didn't want one on your front yard. I know we ain't got to eat, but get off my porch, nigger.
Well, no, maybe down south. Wait, really quick. When Cobb was 18, his mother shot and killed his father, mistaking him for an intruder.
Mm-hmm.
She was acquitted.
I knew about that.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
Dude, you got to read this article. It's fucking crazy.
I thought it was someone else. Back then, you can get away with shit like that. Well,
no,
I thought it was
no,
an intruder.
In Harlem, I don't know how it was down south, but in New York City, Harlem was, that's why Rayo's is still in Harlem, was Italian and black.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody went out. Everybody went to the same restaurants. Nobody would work. They would stroll down the fucking Lenox with suits on, and everybody was fucking respectful.
Yeah, but in the 30s, you couldn't eat in the same place with white people.
Down south.
You could do that up north?
Absolutely, man.
No, it was still segregated, dude.
It was segregated.
It was
the 30s.
My mom remembers drinking from white fountains only, and she grew up
in
Jersey. Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, that the segregation laws, the Jim Crow laws were only in the South.
Yeah, but
they were not in America.
It were laws down there, but people were still fucking racist everywhere else.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they didn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When people were on the docks
They hated everybody.
he said people didn't care, but if a black person drank out of that white water fountain, somebody had answers.
Yeah, yeah.
That was down south. That was the gym.
He said it was
my mom remembers doing. Maybe she was traveling. I don't know, but there was segregated.
Go look at pictures of Harlem in 1930. Put in the Cotton
Club. Yeah, of
it
course.
Might have been black people there, but it was still racist.
It was a black club. I'm saying the Cotton Club.
Yeah.
You're gonna see everybody. Everybody went out. I mean,
but how many white people were going to the Cotton Club?
They weren't white back then. They were Italian, Irish, German, Jewish.
Right. But the whole point
is that black people
like were in some places and the white people were in other places. That's segregation.
Okay, listen to me. Segregation, black neighborhoods are segregated now. You're talking about a law. There was no laws.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is that you had Italian neighborhoods, Jewish neighborhoods, Russian neighborhoods. You had first-generation immigrants that weren't like, we're going to go oppress those people.
No, they didn't
They
do
didn't
that.
Give a fuck.
They didn't do
Nobody,
that.
Everybody on the fucking docks was broke. Everybody was missing meals, and everybody was just trying to survive.
That's what I'm saying.
When you're talking about segregation, you're talking about laws. There's a big difference.
Right.
Fucking Hollywood segregated. If you want to make that argument, go up to the fucking hills. You ain't going to see nobody of color up there.
Right.
All right, go where you grew up.
Yeah.
I'm saying is that things get – neighborhoods become neighborhoods because what happens is you have one group of immigrants that move there first. Oh, they sent for
their
cousins.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
But they were still racist.
I can't – I could tell you how my grandmother thought. And my grandmother told us a story that they didn't even know that shit was going on in the South.
Right.
And because he had one TV on the fucking in the apartment complex and one on the apartment building, and people would come over and watch the TV, and that's why the march was so important. But I will say this: the majority of white Americans, if whatever you could say subconsciously, whatever the fuck you want to say, which I think is outrageous that you come up with a theory of privilege and racism based on everybody subconsciously. You can't prove subconscious thoughts. All those white people went down south. You ever get an opportunity, go to the Civil Rights Museum in Birmingham, Alabama. Look at all of these white people that were in those fucking bombs in the buses. And they actually show you pictures of them laying on the ground that were murdered. A lot of white people were not racist. They just didn't know. Because let's be honest, at that time, black people were 9% of the population. You really think you're going to get your civil rights when 9% of the people are voting?
Right.
You had to have an overwhelming amount of open-minded white people vote that way. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but when they talk about the racism in New York, it's still right. Like Boston's probably one of the most racist towns. But it wasn't based. It wasn't like we hate them. It's we're better than you.
Yeah.
It was more like just because I'm for you doesn't mean I'm against you.
Right.
So all those fucking poor neighborhoods at the time, that's what made New York so great.
Yeah.
But when you look at all the restaurants and all the things, down south is a whole other fucking.
Yeah.
That's a whole other.
That's when you get niggas.
That's when you get fucking laws that are being passed and all that shit, man.
I really thank you guys for having me.
But baseball, really quick, baseball was that longer than football?
What, the Negro Leagues?
About football.
No, I'm saying like because that was the first to desegregate, right?
Right.
Baseball?
Yes, baseball was.
Because it wasn't football.
I think it was baseball.
I think it was baseball.
Now, but the Negro,
it was America's game.
Now, but when that was my next question, when they had the Negro Leagues, those guys probably could have played better than the fucking Yankees, or did they actually get a shot once Jackie Robinson came in? Was there like, oh shit, there's an influx coming? Let's take advantage of all these great athletes.
Well, it didn't happen right away, but slowly they started recruiting from the Negro
Leagues. And it was the Dodgers, right? That did it? The first team to do it?
Yes.
Which was New York.
And then you had bitter Josh Gibson going, fuck that nigga. He better than him. The fuck he gets to play in the majors. Josh Gibson was a bitter nigga. He never got to play in the big leagues, and he was resentful. He hated on Jackie. A lot of those players hated on Jackie because Jackie wasn't the best
player
in the Negro
League. That's what I was going to say. I heard he wasn't.
He just had the best attitude to go deal with being spit on.
Yeah.
Josh Gibson would have killed somebody if they spit on him. You fucking cracker! He would kill somebody, but Jackie would take it, man.
Jackie took it, right? But that's what I was going to say, too. I read a book about that he wasn't the best in the league.
He was good.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the best by far.
Yeah.
And just to see the amount of
damage he did, like, as far as, I mean, good. Like, the
and
way
then when he got to the big leagues, he put up some good numbers.
That's what I'm saying.
Superstar numbers when he got to the big league. So that goes to show you how good the players were in the Negro Leagues.
Yep.
And those Spanish players, forget about it.
Well,
those
the Dominicans fucking dominate. Why is that? Why is that?
Because that's all they do. They have nothing else to do.
Yeah, they learn how to play baseball with branches and
soon
fucking.
As they come out the pussy, they give them a bat.
Yeah.
Because the DR is like fucking. What's bigger, Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic? Is it DR? Right?
I'm not sure, but they both.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
They're good at baseball.
They're so poor down there that everybody, you know how some boys play baseball here. All boys play baseball.
Yeah.
Well, you had to
get out.
And they're good. And we talked about this before. They're good down there for baseball. The same reason why the Brazilians are great at soccer. It's because there's at the most impoverished levels.
It's ingrained.
They're learning to play on bum equipment. And they're using, by the time they get to a real bat and a real ball, they're like, oh, this is fucking easy.
But it's just ingrained in them.
Yeah. We're not playing on a trash heap. This is a field. Oh, amazing. I can catch anything.
So the next question is, though, is that because you could be swinging bats since you were four.
Yeah.
You can't. That hand-eye thing, that's
a gift. Something that's
that's like
a
twitch muscle. You can't develop a twitch muscle.
It is a
muscle.
Gift, but I think it's like evolution. If you do it so long, then you just have babies that can do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But remember that old-ass motherfucker that came here to play? He said he was in Little League, but he was like 20. You remember that?
No,
what? Some dude came from the DR and he was playing in New York.
Oh yeah, I remember
a lot
that guy.
Of players did that.
Yeah.
That's a good interview too. Tejada, he won an MVP 1 year. He goes, your age is not the. I don't know these questions. I don't know. I just come here for this. I just play baseball. I don't know these questions.
It was like,
nigga, you know you 40.
This motherfucker's like 29 years old with 12 year olds.
But that happened to Miguel Tejada. He faked his age and then they tried to interview him.
Yeah.
He got upset. He said, are you really your age? Your passport?
I don't know these questions.
I didn't come out. I just played baseball. You started taking off the fucking interview equipment. I don't know what you're talking. I don't say.
That's hilarious, dude.
Oh, that's genius.
Dude, Harris,
we got to fucking wrap this up.
Dude, it was so awesome having you, man.
Harris, tell everybody about the album.
I have a comedy album, my first one. I'm really excited about it. It's called Naive Innocence. Please check it out on iTunes, Amazon, anywhere you can get comedy.
Awesome.
Harris, give us your
full name.
Harris Stanton.
Yes.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, that's the guy that was in the car accident.
I actually talk about it in my Burr made me laugh because he kept calling it a special. I said, for crying out loud, Burr, it's a fucking album.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I'm sorry. For the third time, Burr, I'm here for a benefit.
What else you got going on? You got any gigs? Because this is coming out on the when? Next week?
Yeah, this will be coming out a week from tomorrow.
We had to double up on it. Yeah. So the 23rd, guys, if you're in Ohio, I'm going to be at the Kent Stages.
Yep.
New Year's Eve weekend. Again, I'm at the Stress Factory in New Jersey. Go to brettcomedy.com. Check out my special. Check it out, man. I gotta tell you, Pete, the response has been fucking great.
Good, buddy. You deserve it.
I don't even know what it'll be like when this one airs, but it's fucking rolling.
I know we have some listeners up in the Oxnard area. I'm gonna be up at the Oxnard Levity Live December 21st to the 23rd with Steve Byrne.
Have you been up there yet?
I think it's the same. Yeah.
Have you been up there yet?
No,
club is fucking gorgeous.
I did the one.
If you want to shoot a special, I would shoot there.
In Levity Live in Oxnard. Okay. Shout out to Oxnard. So yeah, I'll be there 21st to 23rd. I know we have some Wild TL listeners up there, so make sure you shout us out or make sure you come out to the show. And also want to shout out Press Brothers Juice around Franklin. Check it out.
Okay, I'll be in Denver January 4th, 5th, and 6th, and I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City 12th and 13th, and Rochester, New York, the Comedy Club 19th and 20th. Check me out.
Oh, dude, Harris, it was so awesome having you, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, he's a fucking amazing comedian, one of my good friends.
Appreciate it, man.
And dude. Thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yo, so it was our top 10 favorite baseball personalities. At number 10, we had
you
Albert
really
Bell.
You really want to be my friend? Can I have some weed sometime?
Pete will hook you up.
I've been here for three days.
Number 10, we got Albert Bell. Number 9, Manny Ramirez. Number 8, Ty Cobb. Number 7, Jose Canseco. Number 6, Doc and Darryl. Number 5, John Kruk. Number 4, Reggie Jackson. Number 3, Lou Piniella. Number 2, Pete Rose. And the number 1 favorite baseball personality of us three guys right here is Babe Ruth.
I should have pulled up a fucking song getting ready.
Put me in, coach.
That's what I was going to pull up.
I'm ready to play.
Today. I used to love to hear that in the ballpark, man.
Is that what you want to hear?
That's Fogarty.
Yeah, I used to love that.
That's Fogarty right there.
Every time I went to a minor league baseball game, they always played that.
Why is it always in the eighth inning?
I mean, the seventh inning
stretch. Seventh inning stretch.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a break time. It's a break. Yeah. You know, you got to let people know this game's going to wind up soon. Let's just stretch it out a little bit.
And just for the record, nobody was racist in the 1920s.
Yes. It was all smiling,
everybody
happy.
Everybody was all smiling and happy.
Yeah, it was like an REM video.
That shit just happened in
shiny, happy
nobody
people.
Nobody was racist.
And 1984 is when it really started. All right, hold on. Here we go. This is good. Let's see how this works.
No, dude.
All right. This has been another episode of You're on the List. Veterans with PG O'Brien, my boy Harris. And guys, we love you. Make sure you call your mom.
Call your mom.
Hey, and Merry Christmas. We won't talk to you. Oh, it's Hanukkah, too.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah to the
happy
Jews.
All the Jews out there. God bless.
Jews with the candles.
And then, you know, Merry Christmas to you guys. We'll get back into you next week. We love you. You did good, kid. I don't know this version to take me out to the ball game. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
We love you.